with What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Voters across the nation head to the polls on Tuesday as both parties battle for leadership of Congress.
For a while now, it's been pretty clear that the Democrats were going to have difficulty in their Senate races this year and that the Republicans were going to have difficulty keeping control of the House. Not much has changed. That's still the diagnosis that both parties share, and all that will come to a head Tuesday.
Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Jamerson joins us with more on the races to watch. But first, these top stories. U.S. officials are keeping a close eye on election meddling. Experts tell the Wall Street Journal they've made significant changes to ensure safety since 2016, including hiring new technology experts, establishing cybersecurity training for poll workers, and buying new voting equipment. For more on those efforts, listen to our Tech News Briefing podcast on Tuesday. Under Armour is finding itself in the spotlight after news emerged that the company had a long-standing company practice of visiting strip clubs on the company dime. The Wall Street Journal reports that employees received an email earlier this year announcing an end to the practice, but more than a dozen current and former employees and executives say the strip club visits were symptomatic of other practices at Under Armour that were demeaning to women. The company's CEO says it can and will do better. Dollar Tree's $9 billion cash and stock purchase of Family Dollar is pulling down the company's sales and stock price. Dollar Tree is planning renovations to hundreds of Family Dollar stores to boost sales. At the same time, competitor Dollar General, which had also sought to buy Family Dollar, has been opening more new stores since losing the bid. Sysco, the world's largest food service distributor, is seeing its costs for labor and transportation grow. The company posted weaker-than-expected profit and sales for the latest quarter, sending shares down more than 9% on Monday. Sysco has joined other companies in raising prices to help offset higher costs. Still to come, more details on the races to watch in the midterms. It's Election Day, and there are several key races to watch across the nation as Democrats look to flip the House and Republicans aim to hold on to the Senate. Joining us now from Washington is Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Jamerson. Josh, in your piece for the Wall Street Journal, you organized this by the time the polls close. Let's start with 7 p.m. Eastern time. That's when polls close in Virginia, Georgia, Indiana, and Florida. Now, in Florida, the governor's mansion and four House seats are at stake. Florida, of course, is the nation's biggest swing state, so there's plenty to watch here.
That's right. And what's really interesting, like you said, we think it's best to think of tonight going by time zone just because of the plentiful number of races on the eastern seaboard that will be able to be an indicator of how things are going to go the rest of the night. There's so many races to watch that we should have a pretty good idea of how the night's going to go pretty early. And as you mentioned, Florida is going to be one of those big states to come in first. Democrat Andrew Gillum is actually a pair of polls released show that he is leading against his Republican challenger, Ron DeSantis, for the governor's mansion there. And Democrats actually feel that Andrew Gillum is doing so well among young people and minority voters that he's got this grassroots following that could kind of help up and down the ballot. So there's a Senate race there that's widely watched where Senator Bill Nelson is in a tough race against the outgoing Republican Governor Rick Scott. And then there are, I think, really four races on the House that are the most competitive. Two in Miami, one outside Tampa, and one in Sarasota County. Those are all pickup opportunities for the Democrats. So we should get a Senate race, a governor's race, and four House races out of Florida pretty early.
And another big race is in Georgia. That's also for the governor's mansion, and it's between former state lawmaker Stacey Abrams, who got some major backing from Oprah Winfrey, and Georgia's Secretary of State Brian Kemp. If Abrams wins, she would become the first Black female governor in U.S. history.
That's right. And, you know, you've seen a lot of Democratic energy, not just within Georgia, but from all over the country. You've seen a lot of Democrats really excited about this race. One of my colleagues went down to Georgia earlier in the cycle because a lot of the potential 2020 Democratic presidential contenders have seen this race as sort of a place where they want to be seen being involved with the kind of grassroots momentum that Stacey Abrams has been able to accumulate. So it's a big race for Georgia, but it could be a big race for the Democratic Party as a whole as well.
Okay, and let's get to Texas. There's potential for a huge political upset for Republicans here. Representative Beto O'Rourke has gained a lot of ground in challenging Senator Ted Cruz, and a win for Democrats here could also signal that Texas could be a potential swing state in 2020 for the presidential election.
That's right. Democrats have kind of had this, political analysts would call it a fantasy about Texas for some time, and that's just because they've been looking at changing demographics in the state, the way the urban areas like Austin and Houston are only getting bluer. And so if Beto were able to commit one of the biggest upsets in Senate history by ousting Senator Ted Cruz in a state as red as Texas, the Democrats would certainly be looking at the state in 2020. They would certainly be looking at the governor's mansion more seriously. And it would be a big blow to the Republican Party's prospects to lose the number of electoral votes that come with the state as large as Texas. You know, the Republicans really bank on Texas. The Democrats really bank on California and New York to get these high number of electoral votes. So certainly listen out for the Democrats talking more about Texas if Beto is able to oust Ted Cruz or get really close even.
Certainly a lot of races to watch, Josh, and that'll be going on throughout the night. Any other races you would highlight as we keep in mind that Democrats are looking to flip leadership in the House? Any other key races you'd point to that could make that a possibility?
Well, there are a lot of races around the country, but I think around 9 o'clock Eastern, we're going to see four races in Minnesota close. It'll take some time for the actual results to trickle in, but I hear from people in both parties who agree that there are four races in Minnesota that could be bellwethers on where the country's going to go. Two of them are open seats that the Democrats have in districts where President Trump won, and two of them are seats that Republicans have, but Hillary Clinton won those districts. And so among those four, both parties pretty agree it would be a bad sign for the GOP if the Democrats can pick up three of these seats. If it's at two, you know, two out of four, the Republicans think that they have a fighting chance to keep the House of Representatives. If the Democrats kind of would be a little more bullish on their prospects at two, but both parties agree that those three seats, Minnesota 1, Minnesota 2, Minnesota 3, and Minnesota 8, if the Democrats can walk away with three out of four, then it's probably going to be a bad night for the Republicans.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Jamerson joining us from Washington with a look at some of the close races to keep an eye on Tuesday. Josh, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at wsj.com/newsletters. That's wsj.com/newsletters.